trying to get your blood moving. Yes. Don't you feel like moving just listening to this? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, O God, that we have come into your house today on this beautiful morning that you have blessed us with. Keep our hearts and minds in your love and grace, and help us to be the people you have called us to be in this hour of worship. Guide and direct us in all that we do and all that we say is for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord at Calvary United Methodist Church. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we invite you to fill out a welcome card, which you should find in the pew there. We like to recognize you and try to get to know you a little bit better, and it helps us if you give us a little bit of information. We thank you for that. And we begin our worship service with passing the peace of Christ. Will you greet your neighbor?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome this morning to Calvary. My name is Robin Stowers, and I just have two announcements for everyone this morning. First off, it is the fourth Sunday of the month, and that means Bob Seymour would like to see as many faces as possible at our council meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen. Everybody got that? Amen, Bob. 6 o'clock council meeting. And Lloyd, could I get you to do me a favor at the end of the service? We have a kitchen full of decadent, good-smelling bread and desserts. Please, folks, Lloyd, if you would open that door at the end of the service to remind people that there is bread and there's bags in there, please take it home. And if you don't eat bread, share it with your neighbors or somebody at work, okay? We don't want to see all that good bread go to waste. How's that? Anybody, any other announcements this morning? Okay, well, let's get started with our opening word. Oh, you know what? I would like to tell my husband happy birthday. Oh. And I get to take flowers home. Oh.
She's 38.
No, no. Anyway, I get to take pretty flowers home today. Okay, well, let us turn to the back of our bulletin for our opening words this morning. The God of our ancestors calls to us today. The God of our children calls to us today.
May we work for justice and peace to build the reign of God on earth.
Jesus, the Son of the living God, calls to us now.
May we worship God, follow Jesus, and be moved by the Spirit to do justice, love, and mercy, walk humbly with God, now and forever.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 400, we will sing Come Now Fount of Every Blessing. Please turn to 881. We will have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he is ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As it was.
have something to show you and the congregation. I want you to look at it first without saying anything. I want you to think about what it is just for a moment, okay? Think about what I'm showing you. And then I'm going to ask you in just a moment to tell me what it is. But we want to look at the picture first. You see the picture? Yes. Let me show the congregation that I don't know if they can see. Watch. Let me step on your fingers. Okay, here we go. I want to show the congregation this picture, too. Make sure you can see it. I'll come down the other side in a second. Can you see it now? Hopefully you can see it now. You back there can see this? Yes? No, I did not make this. I did not make this. Okay, boys and girls, can you tell me what you looked at?
A sand castle.
Let me ask you a question. How long do you think this sand castle lasted? How long did this sand castle last? 5 minutes? An hour? Maybe a day until the tide came in, I heard also. Yes. Now, why did it not last now? It's not permanent, and the water came in, and what did the water do? Washed it away. Now, I have another picture to show you, and I want you to tell me what this picture is after you look at it. Just look at it for a moment. See what this picture is, Anna. There we go, Aston. See what this picture is, everybody? See that? Okay, we're going to go down the sanctuary and see if you... This time I'm just going to hold it like this. See if everybody can get a good look at this. This is the other picture. Can you see that? Back there? Not yet. I'm coming closer. What is this? Okay, tell me, boys and girls, what is this second picture of? What? A mountain. That's right. And what does this mountain look like it's made of? Stone, rock? Yeah. Now, do you think this would wash away? No, it does eventually. I think Bradley's probably right. But Jesus talks to Peter today about being the rock that the church is built on. Now, would we want to build the church on the sand? Because it would get washed away. But we want to build the church on the rock. And what is a rock that the sand is not? What is the rock? What qualities does the rock have that the church needs? What qualities does the church need from the rock? It's hard. It's strong. It's always there. It's present. It's big. It's what? Silent. No, that's a quality of the rock, but we build our church on top of the rock so we can stand. And the church has been going for centuries and centuries ever since Jesus came and said to Peter that Peter was the rock that we were going to build this church on. And that's why we're still here today, all those many years later. The church is a strong witness to the world of the love of God. And it will be here. God promises us to the end of time. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you for the church, that you built the church on Peter the Rock, and that we are present here and we are not washed away. We are strong and we are full of the mission that you have called us to do throughout this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get some candy, boys and girls. Turn to. Okay, wonderful. Okay, Ashton? Christian, are you going to get some candy too? All right. There you go, sweetheart. You're welcome. May we continue to serve and worship God this morning with the giving of our gifts. I invite the ushers to please come forward. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to be strong representatives in this world for you, that you have built your church on the rock, that we might be, dear God, those people who are strong, who are present, and grateful for all the good gifts that you give us every single day. We thank you and ask that you use the gifts that we ourselves bring for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
is mine.
Shadows around,
shadows around me,
shadows above
me.
They're not just requests for prayer, but they're also praises, and I want to share those with you. It's a praise that Rhonda Barlow is here today. It's a praise that Walter Bonner is here today. It's a praise that Audrey Fry is home from the hospital and recovering at home. It's a praise that Barbara Hoosie is home from the hospital, not here today. We continue to praise God for being with Jean Story and Lou Beatty in their battle with cancer. Kay Lewis is a member of our congregation, and Joan is here today. We see Joan here. That's a praise. Thank you, Joan. We want to remember in prayer, of course, Janine Ward, whose brother passed away in July. We had services for him yesterday here at the church. Russell Johnson, Janine Ward's brother. We want to be in prayer for the Texas coast because of the storm that has come through there. Mary Dixon still needs our prayers, as does Sue Michael, although it's a praise that she's home from the hospital. And there are other praises and prayers that we can offer to God this morning. If you would enter into a time of silence, that we could focus on God rather than us in the quiet. Close your eyes and bow your heads and take a deep breath. And hear the voice of God speaking to you today. And share, whether it be a praise or a prayer of concern, lift that up to Almighty God today. Whether silently or aloud, God hears all our prayers and praises. Let us go to God in prayer. I lift up my father, Morel Robinson, who had a fall last night. But in praise, I would like to lift up both my parents for their celebration of their 65th wedding anniversary. We come to you, God, today with praises on our lips because you bestow upon us such good gifts. We give you the thanks and the praise for the wonderful gift of each day of our lives. All these gifts come from you. We also lift up those needs that we shared with you today and others who remain unnamed. Those for our world, our country, and its leaders. Those for our congregation and our families. Hear us today, we beseech you, and grant us the healing power of your love to be at work in our lives as we trust it is. We give you, dear God, all the glory and praise as you taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand, turn to page 368 in your hymnals. We will sing My Hope Is Built.
Frame, but only lean on Jesus' name.
Today's scripture is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let me read to you those verses one more time. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, you will be loosed, will be loosed in heaven." I have always heard these words from the Gospel of Matthew as being about forgiveness. Now, most of you, as well as a majority of those who follow Jesus, would probably say that the rock that he promises to build his church on was actually Peter himself, or Peter's confession of faith, which all the rest is built. But I can't help but wonder if that foundation is actually forgiveness. Taken this way, understanding these words, it may be a little disconcerting for us because we've lived long enough in our lives to have experienced situations where we have not been able to forgive others, or others have not been able to forgive us. And these words that we hear are meant for us, and they are given as a gift to give away, which has eternal consequences for life. That our ability and willingness to forgive or be forgiven so shapes us that it is infinite in time and scope and is the rock upon which everything is founded. Taken this way, forgiveness is central to who we understand ourselves to be. It holds a power for us that little else has or does. And the scripture says it is ours, ours to receive, ours to give, or not. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. My sense is that for most of us, we recognize the power of forgiveness mostly when it is absent. I think, for instance, of the young woman who she and her fiancé came into my office to be married. And we looked at their lives and the steps they were taking, and they felt ready for this marriage that they had together, for their wedding in the near future. Their upcoming lives together were full of hope. But she could not stop crying, weeping for her sister who refused to forgive her. She was afraid of how that would play out on her wedding day, what would happen. But I think she was even more afraid for the consequences of her future relationship with her only sister. Or I think of the old man whose wife's funeral I did a few years ago. Now, I did not know the family, so I didn't see this coming, but at the end of the service, after I pronounced the blessing, he stood up and he said, "Pastor, may I have a word?" It wasn't really a question. So I stepped back, and he came to the podium, and he demanded that his wife's brother and nephew come and join him up at the front of the church before the crowd of family members that were gathered. And he proceeded to announce that until her dying day, his wife had prayed that the two of them would forgive each other. She died with that yearning unanswered. And he was about to correct that situation right there and then. He turned to his brother-in-law and his nephew and demanded that they forgive each other. I kind of doubt that that forgiveness took. But you never know. But I can't imagine that that forgiveness came from a true place in their hearts when it was done out of public humiliation. But at the same time, it gives us a very important parallel for our relationship with Jesus. The man was asking them to forgive each other for the sake of his wife, who loved both of them. And we are asked to forgive, if for no other reason than for the sake of Jesus, who loves us all. Who tells us that this gift we've been given to give and to receive is the foundation for all the rest. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but they've done research on the power of forgiveness or the power of not forgiving, and you can Google that and find there some information. But the gist of that, of what they have learned in these studies on forgiveness, is that those who forgive live longer. They have healthier hearts. Other ailments heal more quickly. And these are just the physical effects of forgiveness. Our ability to forgive also has profound effect on our emotional lives and our relationships with those close to us. This does not even begin to address how old wounds that are unhealed can affect a community or a nation. I don't claim to be an expert at this. In fact, I've experienced ongoing brokenness between myself and other people who are important to me. I've had my share of long-held resentments, which I find difficult to let go. So I ask for your prayers today. I think about a seventh grade friend of mine who she and I had a parting of ways in about the ninth grade or tenth grade. And we're certainly not friends anymore in the real sense, but we are friends on Facebook. And her name appears on there, and her profile comes up, her profile picture comes up every now and then. And I was able to see in her picture a smiling face of her current life with her husband and her children, and now her grandchildren. She likes ballet and works for a ballet company. I haven't laid eyes on her for more than 45 years. But the sound of her name, her smiling face, still stirs up feelings inside of me. I have not yet forgiven. I think of a congregation that I was attending while I was a student, and the invitation I received a little while ago to go back to that congregation. When I was there, the congregation was full of conflict and strife, and those resentments and hurts were raw at the time that I left. But I discovered when I got the letter that those resentments and hurts are still present in that church. It was their pastor who was the source of a lot of the conflict. And I read the letter and found myself tensing up. I put the letter down, realizing that I have not yet forgiven. Now, neither of these cases affects my everyday life. I could go the rest of my life and not see anyone involved, not see any of these people ever again, and the fact that I haven't forgiven doesn't really seem to affect them. Its effect is on me. They have not let me go because I have not let go. And now you see why I ask for your prayers. I wonder if my inability to forgive shapes how I live my life now. If I avoid things and people rather than confronting. And I wonder if my inability to forgive an old pastor shapes how I pastor now. If those old hurts impact my ministry. There's a song that came out a few years ago that was called Forgive. And you can find it on iTunes. It's by Sarah Renner. And I actually wrote to her to ask her for the music. I couldn't find any music for it. And she wrote me back and said that although she did not have the copyright for that song yet, she said, go ahead and use it. Spread the word. Sing it. The world needs it. she said. You can go on YouTube now or iTunes and get that song named Forgive. The refrain, part of the refrain says, if you want to live, forgive. If you want to live, forgive. The world needs it. I need it. And probably you need it. And according to our gospel reading for today, wholeheartedly embracing it and living it has eternal consequences for our lives. Consequences which begin in all the moments of our days and lives yet to come. But even as I know this and I believe this, I am aware of how far I fall short. And so I have to hope, I have to cling to the promise that my tendency not to forgive is outmatched by Jesus' willingness to forgive me and you. I have to trust in that. As Peter says so clearly in these moments that he is given such an awesome gift, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This being so, perhaps what you and I say or do is of little less importance. Is not so central. But this power is still given to us. This power to bind and to loose has been granted to us. This binding and loosing we are given has powerful consequences. And so I have to just pause and realize how much it does matter in our lives, this matter of forgiveness. I believe it is the foundation of everything we are and hope to be as Christian people. It is the foundation on which we are built. It is the rock on which we stand. This much I know for sure. Whatever happens in heaven, it matters now. If you want to live, forgive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look through the screen behind me, we will sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
Jesus lifted me, sing glory hallelujah. The fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rests now and abides with each of you. As you leave this place, you know that you are forgiven. Even when you can't forgive,